collection of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it. Because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you use a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Yeah, EWTN has kind of told me they wanted me to be a lead-in act for some of the more intellectually puissant hosts. I'm the one that gets the frisbees and the beach balls gone. And then they bring in the big intellectual guns. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Once again, the third day in a row here in the vaunted Al Cresta studio here at Ave Maria Radio, Ann Arbor. I've been hanging around Michigan these days, floating in and out of snow and slush and freezing rain and cold. Oh, but I'm not one to whine. At least the studio's nice. It's about 42 degrees in here, so that's good. The number's still the same, 877-573-7825, to get onto the program. It's all call-in. I get an awful lot of email from, what do you call them, agents, publicity people, human resource people. Dear host, got a wonderful guest for you. Well, you're my wonderful guests. You call in with questions about your own lives or perhaps about somebody else's life, situations, circumstances, emotions, behavior, kids, grown-ups, adults, elderly. I'm a psychologist. That's my world. My world is people. It's been my world for a long time. Unfortunately, I've been at it so long. Well, no, I shouldn't say unfortunately. Fortunately, I've been at it so long that, well, the people I started out as preschoolers working with are now retiring. 877-573-7825 is the number. I want to thank all the folks at the Legatus last night in Lansing and heading up to the Legatus meeting tonight, God willing, in Grand Rapids, and then leaving for Tulsa. The Catholic radio folks there, they got a beautiful banquet coming up tomorrow night. So if you're in the Tulsa listening area, Catholic radio there in Tulsa, I don't think I've ever been to Tulsa, but pretty soon I'll be 24 hours from Tulsa, and it'll be great. Adam Minahan is there and all the gang, so you want to come out to the banquet? I would be delighted to see you there. One more time, get on the program, 877-573-7825. Got into a discussion last night around the table. Young mother, had four boys, 8, 6, 4 and a baby, I think. We were talking about the kids being spoiled. Not because they deliberately, as parents, set out to spoil the kids, but because we live in an environment and in a culture that naturally spoils all of us. And if you don't think it does, just look at your life. Our poorest live better than much of the rest of the world. Air conditioning? Well, I've never had to deal with heat. I mean, I've got an air-conditioned car, air-conditioned house, air-conditioned place of employment. I've never not had a hot shower. I can take a shower anytime I want. Every once in a great while, the water's not hot. But, oh, my gosh, I call somebody and make it hot. Clothes. Whatever culture in the whole world changed their style of clothes because somebody somewhere said it's not cool anymore. Certainly, clothing changed from culture to culture over long periods of time, but not ours. We change our styles in 6 years. I got to get rid of all those ties. They're no good anymore. All those bell-bottom pants, they're gone. That lariat I love so much, no more. And I know you're laughing, thinking, oh, man, I would never look like that. Yeah, but that's just my point is. That is just my point. We can easily be spoiled. Do a little test, okay? Those of you with say kids under 8 or 9. Go to McDonald's, Burger King, any place that offers kids' meals. You tell the server, like, 2 kids' meals, please, and you keep the toys. Initially, the server looks at you with pity. Ma'am, on our planet, when you order the kid meal, you get the toy. It comes with it. It's free. You didn't pay for that. Of course, you did, but it's hidden in the kid meal price. So you explain yourself a little further. Oh, that's okay. I think it's privilege enough. I'm taking him out to eat, you know. Something only the kings and very wealthy and all of human history could do, to order from a big long list of food, have it prepared, give it to me. Now, you're not going to say that because you're going to sound like a major dork if you do. The kid behind a counter who's 17 years old is going to look at you and think, what is this? Is this some philosophy prof from Michigan State University? What is this? In the meantime, your kids are kind of staring up, eyeballing the toys, you know, longingly for the toys. Besides, you know what happens to these things? You get home. You sneak them into the trash in the middle of the night. You're tired of stepping on them, tired of picking them up. You put coffee grounds on top of them so the dog can't sniff them out and the kid can't sniff them out. And the next morning, your kid says, hey, how'd that get in there? I only got 54 of those. That's my favorite one, too. You ask the clerk this question. Have you ever had anybody do this? Now, keep in mind, the amount of people that go through that place in 1 year is in the thousands. And how many kids' meals they sell, I have no idea, but it's got to be in the thousands. Shoot, if they sell 3 a day, that's 1,000 over a course of a year. You ask the clerk, you ever had anybody do this before? No. No, you're the first. You see what I'm saying to your people? If you think to yourself, what is this? What is this? I am taking my child out to eat something that has really not been done much in the history of the United States, and definitely not in the history of the world. You don't go out and say, okay, here, that's food I want there, and I want that food there, and give me that food there, and bring it to me here. And the kids just kind of sit there and can pick and choose. I don't like those French fries. They're too short. They're too short. This ketchup tastes funny. I don't want it. Where's my toy? So you try to stop this, and that clerk changes. The look is no longer pity. It's now one of, man, lady, you're bizarre. And then he or she turns to your child and says, is this your mother? Is this your mother? Is this your grandmother? I think you can call Children's Services. Do you see what I mean, dear people? Just do that little test once. Watch what kind of reaction you get. We used to do that with our kids. Man, one time we had 10 under 12. So you could imagine how many kids' meals we could have ordered if we walked into a joint. We could have given them their quota for the week. Every time we said, you keep the toys, please. And some of them fought us. Oh, no, I'm just going to put these in here anyway. Because they'd look at the kids. They would look at the kids as though we're being abusive. They would try to make eye contact. And, you know, when you got 10 kids, some of them are going to play the game. They're going to look up at that clerk, and they're just going to look like a puppy, a sad puppy that's been left out in the rain for 3 days because his owner didn't feed him. And so, sometimes if you had the older retired ladies, they'd insist. Or maybe they'd even walk to your table and sort of drop one. And of course, we were the ogres. We were the bad guys. They pushed. They didn't look at us and say, I'll bet you're trying to raise your kids so they're not spoiled, huh? No, 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 no. It was, what a jerk you are. No matter how much you explained it, the kids took it a lot better than the clerks did. After the first few times that we did that, the kids didn't expect it anymore. We didn't have to pick up a whole bunch of toys. But you see what happens? When you try to do the slightest thing to not feed into a mentality of gimme, 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 the culture gonna slap you down. They don't like that. And furthermore, it's not a matter of we don't agree with what you're doing as a parent. It is you're a bad parent. You're insensitive. You're cruel. This poor kid got stuck with you. Try it one time. See what happens. 877-573-7825. Now, have any of you ever done that? Because if you have, I would like to hear your experience. And we'll also take your other calls. I'm Dr. Ray.
My husband and I, we listen to you all the time.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray.
Now, don't you feel better?
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Missed the name of the guest on today's Cresta in the Afternoon or his or her book? Log on to AveMariaRadio.net. Click Archive in the upper right corner. Select and search Catholic Connection and explore from there. You can hear past episodes, delve into bios, read related articles, purchase books, and find links to websites, all by clicking on the show notes from each hour. Browse AveMariaRadio.net and bookmark it today. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Since Roe v. Wade, the federal courts in the United States have insisted that mothers be able to kill the child in their womb for any reason. Yet the courts have allowed states to set certain conditions, such as informed consent, parental involvement, and waiting periods. Now, various states are introducing laws to get rid of even those reasonable measures and to allow abortion to be performed by people who are not doctors. The reason is simple. These lawmakers are partnered with the abortion industry to make sure nothing makes them lose business. These state laws save lives. That means less money goes to the abortion industry. But some of that money goes back to re-elect the lawmakers who are pro-abortion. So they will oppose even the most reasonable restrictions on abortion. Let's expose what they are doing.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
So I'm 100% good. Anything I do by definition is good. Andrew Kruchek, my producer man, and Eric Dumont, primary call screamer on the other end there. We badinage. We have a little badinage on the breaks. And they asked me what time I was leaving for Grand Rapids tonight here in Michigan. And we got to thinking. That's a little bit self-absorbed, isn't it? Self-promoting. Grand Rapids. Were they grand when they were first founded? What were they? Just Rapids? Okay Rapids? And then they got a little bigger. Were they good rapids? They keep growing. What are they going to be? Ultimate rapids? Platinum rapids? I don't know. Seems a little self-centered to me, but okay. I'm going to teach them about humility tonight. Another mom of adult children being critiqued, criticized, mistreated by the adult children. And I'm telling you, this parallels my monolog. Now, some of you may have drawn it, the conclusion, and not. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm the host. But before I go to this mom, who is distressed, and rightfully so, because she's four daughters. They're all in their 20s. And all of a sudden, they just decided she isn't a good mom, and she didn't do it right, etc., And compounding that is a dad who seems to be taking the sides of the daughters. This is interesting. One has to explain why so many adult children are so critical of their parents. And my experience is these are not bad parents. For the most part, they're not bad parents. They're humans who did things good and did things bad. But the idea that there is a lack of tolerance and forgiveness and charity toward the parent from these young adults, I believe, is part of my theory that these children, many of them, are growing up very spoiled. Spoiled people don't give much allowance. All right, enough of that. Let's go to our caller. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Did I hit it?
I love your program.
Did I hit it before you even told me about it?
Well, when your call screamer was talking to me, I left out one very big factor. One of the factors is that this period, they're also saying that I neglected them during my 4-year period of battling breast cancer.
Now, wait a minute.
I wasn't.
No, you didn't leave something out. You just made my point even stronger. Right?
Yeah.
My point was.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely disgusting.
It's intolerant.
My
point was, if
my mom had breast cancer, and I would never have dreamed of ever criticizing her for anything.
You weren't as intolerant and maybe spoiled as your daughters were.
Well, yeah, I grew up poor, and, you know, we sent all 4 children through private school, and, you know, we've taken a nice vacation every year. We've given them a car.
Sweetheart, you don't have to convince me that you were a good mom. You don't have to do that. And even if you were a bad mom, there is this
Oh, I admit I made mistakes.
Well, that doesn't make you a bad mom.
No doubt.
Mistakes
but
don't make you a bad mom. Let's get to now. Let's get to now.
Okay.
You got all 4 daughters in their 20s, and they are saying, we're mad at you, Mom. We don't like you, Mom. You're a bad mom. You're a neglectful mom. Is that the message?
Yeah, they felt that I should have been able to do more.
Okay. So they're allowed to think that.
While I was, you know, fighting for my life.
Okay, so they're allowed to think that, but they're carrying on as though, okay, well now, Mom, we really don't have a whole lot of respect for you. We really don't have a whole
That's
lot
right.
of warmth for you. All 4 of them?
All 4 of them.
That's wild. I would think a couple of them would have a personality that would say, hey, wait a minute.
Well, one of them initiated it and started stirring the pot. She has her master's degree in social work and family studies. And so she thinks she's got all of this knowledge, but actually she's the one who needs therapy.
By the way, I have seen informally that those children who are educated in the mental health field of some type are most critical of their parents.
Oh, my gosh.
That's been my experience. So, that said, let's get to you. Okay. I don't know how you will do this. It should be a goal, maybe, to view it as, I'm sorry, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, no, don't scratch that. Not I'm sorry, you didn't do anything wrong. Simply,
I ask for forgiveness.
For what?
So that
because you were fighting
so
for your life and you,
you
couldn't
know,
give
let
them
go of their,
you didn't,
let go of their attitude.
Well,
and,
but,
and after right. after doing that and their attitude persists and they even pick up more.
All right, then you know what you know what you got to do, dear. I'm going to hurry along here. I got other calls. You know what you got to do? You got to decide. For whatever the reason, these girls have decided to be self-centered and intolerant of me. For whatever the reason. And, therefore, I'm not going to beat myself up over this anymore. That's my goal. Now, you're not going to be able to flip a switch,
and calm those emotions, but you can work toward it. You could live in the confidence that, for all my humanness, I don't deserve this. And you don't, by the way. I've seen very, very few parents that actually deserve the opprobrium. I wanted to use that word because that lady on the intro says you use big words, and I'm kind of intimidated, so I'm tired to use big words. For all the opprobrium that they're getting thrown at them by these adult kids. So, my dear, if you're asking me, how do you make them feel warmer toward you? You just be yourself. You be who you are. And hopefully they may grow up and mature a little bit. And God forbid something bad happens to them, so then they realize what their mother dealt with at some point. But you, first of all, I doubt that you're going to immediately change your minds on anything. You're going to have to change your own mind, which is to continue to want them to understand and be kind and warm. Hopefully that'll develop over time with a couple of them. But right now, I'm going to share with you something, dear. You know, I got 10 kids. And there have been two or three of them that have essentially accused their mother and I of favoring other children, of looking more kindly on other children, which is bogus nonsense. Absolute raw nonsense. And I will refuse to be bothered by that. Because it's nuts, the way they interpreted it. Yeah, we got along better with some of the other kids because some of the other kids didn't pull the stunts that they pulled. So, that's my suggestion, dear lady. And I know I'm passionate about this because I'm getting sick and tired of so many parents getting mistreated by these young adult kids who may, in my opinion, be spoiled little brats. Thank you. I'll talk to you. Rocky. I like it. Rocky. That's right. Anybody named Rocky gets put straight to the front. Hey, Rock, what's up?
Hi.
Hi, buddy. How old are you?
9 years old.
9 years old. I like it. Rock. All right, bud. What's up?
Well, everyone knows Jesus didn't sin, right?
Yep.
Well, in the temple, he pushed over the tables and whipped the... got angry and stuff.
Yep.
Isn't that a sin?
Well, first of all, buddy, getting angry is not always a sin. Matter of fact, if you get angry over the right thing, for example, somebody else being hurt, or somebody being mistreated, or as Jesus did, these guys taking his father's house and turning it into a place where they ripped people off, is what they did. So Jesus was quite upset over that. He's allowed to be upset over that. Secondly, he tipped over the tables. He made a cord with a bunch of whips, and he drove some of them out. And you say, wait a minute, Dr. Ray, that's pretty violent. He was being mean. Well, two answers to that there, Rock. One, he's God. And his decision to act that way wouldn't be the same as you and I. You and I might do it because we want to hurt them. We want to punish them. We're going to slam them around. Jesus said, no, get out of here. I want you out of here. Which is perfectly legitimate. Okay? So he was doing what I would call, now this is a little fancy language here, bud, but you sound pretty smart. Righteous anger. In other words, he was legitimate in doing that. Now think about it this way. If Jesus is God, then what he did can't be wrong. We may not understand all of it from our human eyes, but we can accept that wasn't the kind of anger that you and I would show when we're mad at somebody. Good job, Rock. This is Dr. Rick.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
You're not a gossip, right? Or if you do, it's pretty harmless, right? Well, according to the teaching of Scripture, the wisdom of the saints, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church, gossip is in fact a sin. A popular one, for sure, an easy one to commit, 100%, but gossip breaks the Eighth Commandment not to bear false witness against your neighbor. It's detraction and rash judgment all balled up together. Radio host and author Dave Ramsey defines it as anything negative that's discussed with someone who can't solve the problem, unquote. Dave fires employees who engage in gossip, by the way. True story. Gossip is not only a serious failure in courage, it's the mildest form of murder. Think about it. Let's kick gossip to the curb so we can have a better culture. I'm Patrick Coffin at patrickcoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Randy, getting a little more information on Grand Rapids, where I'm heading tonight. Apparently, he's named that because it's by the Grand River, which makes the river kind of self-centered. They also have five of the world's largest office furniture manufacturers. So this chair I'm sitting on right now could have come from Grand Rapids. I feel a closeness to them. You know what I mean? Denise, San Antonio, Texas. My sister wanted me to name her twin children. She had twins, a boy and a girl.
Oh, Denise and DeNephew.
Well, forget you.
Do you know how many times I've heard that?
I'm sorry to be so repetitive and way old. Andrew says, put Denise on hold. Take somebody else. Well, hi, honey. How are you? What's up?
Hey, big fan of yours.
Oh, thanks.
I listen to you all the time and bought your books and give them out, and I hope to see you when you come to San Antonio next week.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, but just a couple of comments, and one is people's reactions to you when you do try to do the right thing with your kids. I learned when my kids were young, early on, that they look to me for how they're supposed to respond to situations. And I remember particularly when they would fall down and, you know, turn and look at me like, well, what do I do? And I'd say, well, get up, you're fine. People would get irate with me that I wouldn't run over and pick them up and cuddle them and do all this and let them cry. It's just like, you're fine. Go along.
Even when you saw the bone jutting out of the wrist?
Exactly. Mm. I mean, those heal.
Okay. No. Well, you know, you have stumbled upon a parenting insight that I think, well, maybe not a lot of parents have, which is you're absolutely right. Little kids especially look to you to see if they're supposed to be upset, if they're supposed to be mad, if they're supposed to be hurt. It's like the guy who, the little kid who falls off of a playground toy. And he looks up, and you go, good one, good jump on there. And he starts to laugh, and he smiles. But if you would have run over and said, are you okay? You okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm fine. Now, I'm not saying you don't comfort little kids. Please, don't have anybody mishear me on that. But a parent has a good judgment of, okay, there's no injury there. The child's looking to me to gauge his reaction.
And you're right. They do take a cue from a big person. Broaden this out a little bit. Broaden this out a little bit. When kids have to deal with stress and trauma in their lives, whatever it might be, loss of a pet, something, they take their lead oftentimes from the parent. How does the parent respond to it? How does the parent see it?
Oh, absolutely. When my daughter was 5 years old, when we lived in Germany, and she was playing with this little girl down the street who was a couple years older than she was, and the little girl down the street, you know, one of her friends came over who was her same age, so she just blew off my daughter. My daughter comes home crying, and I want to sit down and cry with her, but I realized that that wasn't going to make her feel better. So I had to just say, Megan, buck up. Those things happen, you know. We'll just do something else. It's okay. And she got through it okay.
No wonder all those people got mad at you. Boy, they thought you were one tough little cookie. But I'll tell you what, though.
Well, you know, something must have worked, because when my youngest son was 13 or so, and I was doing more for him than I did for the two older girls who'd always left the house, and I felt sort of guilty, and I said, you know, I'm afraid I'm spoiling you. And he looked at me and he said, you can't be spoiled if you're grateful. And I thank you for everything you do for me.
Now, man, you can't implant an attitude like that in a 13-year-old kid. That kid must have something inside him. That
he's
just
awesome.
Yeah, it makes him look at life that way. God bless him. How old is he now?
26.
Does he still love you?
Oh, my goodness. He never went through adolescent twittiness. He was always a sweetheart. When he was in high school, he would call me up to come have lunch with him and his buddies.
What a kid. What a kid.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you, and I'm going to let you go, dear, but I'll bet you that his buddies probably said something like, I wish I could do that with my mom, or I wish that me and my mom got along like that. I'll bet.
Yeah. Well, they also appreciated that I bought the lunch. I mean, hey.
Let's get down to practicalities here, girl. Hey, hope to see you in San Antone. Thanks, Denise.
Okay, great.
All right, honey.
So-
Bye. Bye. It reminds me when my son Peter, my youngest son, we sent him on to high school. He's a sophomore. He was one of the only ones we sent on to high school. Being homeschooled, and play sports. And before the games, I'd kiss him. I'd go up, and I'd kiss him in front of his buddies, everybody. There ain't no way he was going to not let his dad hug him or kiss him. He told me later, he said, a number of the boys had said, I wish my dad would do that. So you got this misperception that these adolescent kids, as a group, don't want their parents touching them, don't want their parents saying anything nice to them, don't want their parents walking next to them out in public, right? That's the perception. Ew! Mom! Drop me off about a mile from there. I'll walk the rest of the way. Don't wave at me. And I wouldn't allow that. I'm Italian. I'm not going to allow that. And Petey said later, he said, Dad, he said, and he hugged and kissed me back, all right? And he was a sophomore. He wasn't a senior. He wasn't a cocky senior who didn't care what other people thought. He was king of the roost. No, he was a sophomore. He just started. It's basketball season. It was 2 months into the school year. And he told me later, he said, Dad, some of the guys have commented that how cool that is. All right, let me see where we're going here. Courtney. Courtney from Virginia. Courtney, I'm probably going to have to cut you off here in about 40 seconds because I didn't notice the clock. But we can begin. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Dr. Ray. So I have a 5-year-old son who he started kindergarten this year, and he's one of those early kindergartners, you know, started at right when he turned 5 in September. And he is going through this phase where he will just shut down. I mean, he doesn't – if he gets mad, something sets him off, anything you do to try and kind of kick him out of that cycle is – not welcome, and he is done. And
what's he do? Does he go sit down? Does he go somewhere? Does he walk away from you? What's he do?
He'll pout. He'll just refuse to do anything. And if you try and intervene, like, he'll start to get more active and, like, you know, don't, no, push your hand away.
Oh, so it isn't, it isn't just a shutdown. It's a shutdown and then a meltdown.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
That's a little different.
We've had family members like say, "Well, is he on the autism spectrum?"
Oh, please!
Teachers don't seem to think that.
No.
His doctors don't.
We can't take every little
diagnosis from family.
Every little quirk that a kid does in isolation and say, "Well, you know, kids on the autistic spectrum will do things like that too." So maybe he is. This is amateur diagnosis stuff. I'll tell you what, Courtney, you stay right there because I'm gonna shut down right now. I'm taking a break. I'm going to shut down. But the one thing I can guarantee you is when I come back, I will not throw a fit. All right? And I'm not going to push your call away. I want to talk some more. I'm a sensitive, conversant male.
Best to thank God. The Catholic Catechism tells us that every event and need can become an offering of thanksgiving. St. Paul often begins his letters with thanksgiving, and the Lord Jesus is always part of such a prayer. In the first letter to Timothy, Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Praise, the Catechism says, is the form of prayer that most immediately recognizes God is God. It praises God not just for what he has done, but simply for who he is. Praise embraces all other forms of prayer and carries them to him, its source and goal. The sacrifice of praise is the Eucharist. It is the pure offering of the whole body and blood of Christ to the glory of God's name. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. For more minutes, go to the archive at AveMariaRadio.net.
What are the roots of the Catholic Mass, the source and summit of our life together? Jewish convert and teacher Mark Neugebauer provides us with some answers.
These two Jewish believers, they have this testimony in the choir. I said, what are they about? They have peace, they have joy, they have love. I said, guys, what are you about? They said, Jesus. I said, how could you? How could you believe in that one who is the cause of so much suffering of our people? They said, well, why don't we come over and we'll talk about it? I said, fine, I'm coming to you and I'm going to prove to you he's not the Messiah and you can say whatever you want.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Jewish to Protestant to Catholic, convert Mark Neugebauer opened the door to Christ. He spoke at the Jewish Roots to Catholic Mass Conference. He shares his story and takes a look at the big picture on our next program. Listen to the first of three conference talks on Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Yeah, I guess in our culture, some people are really into GQ, Gentlemen's Quarterly. You know, it's kind of like the sign that you're kind of a with it, cool, culturally cutting edge guy. I want to get on PQ, Psychologist Quarterly. It's my goal. Modern Tank Repair. The Abrams Journal. Abrams A1M1 today. Let's see. We were talking to Courtney. I was talking to Courtney, and she has a little 5-year-old guy. Something goes wrong in his world. He just starts to pout and he shuts down. However, when Courtney tries to get him to work his way through it, that's when he gets nasty. Right, Court?
Right. And it's starting to cause problems in school. He goes to a Catholic school, and they're basically saying that his academics are great, but the maturity is starting to impact the academics, and he might have to repeat kindergarten. And I just don't know how well that's going to go over with his dad.
Well, okay.
Paying the bills.
You know, this is the standard mindset. Now we're off on another direction, but I want to address it. This is a standard mindset of educators, of many in the mental health field, that this is emanating from your little guy's immaturity. And therefore, he started kindergarten too early, you know. We tried to warn you, Courtney. We tried to tell you, don't do this. And you sent him anyway. You neglectful mother. I don't know your son. I don't know the situation. All I know is situations like his. It's probably not immaturity. It's, okay, forgive me.
The good news is it's not immaturity. The bad news is it's brattiness. A couple of things. I would have the teachers tell me when he acts bad at school, disruptive, whatever he does. Please let me know. Because when your little guy comes home, I'd pretty much tell him, you know, you didn't do well at school today. You didn't act nice for your teacher. And then everything he wants is no. And any day that you hear from his teacher that he wasn't pleasant or cooperative, he's going to go to bed early. He's not going to have his stuffed animal. And pretty much he's not going to have a whole lot of privileges. That's the way it's going to be. Okay? That's the first thing. You're going to tie school and home together. Secondly, when he does this with you, I would not push on him unless he's done something wrong. If he's done something wrong, then you deal with it. Whatever you want to do. Go to the corner, whatever. If he resists, now you got defiance. This is not a shutdown. This is a passive defiance. So you're going to have to do something about it. The fact that he doesn't want to talk about it doesn't bother me. I don't care. He's 5 years old. He's a little boy. So what? You don't have to process it. What you did was not good. Okay, here's what I'm going to do about it. Now, if he fights you and resists you, now you got a defiance problem. If it's just a matter of he doesn't want to explain how he thinks about something or how he feels about something, and he didn't really do anything wrong, then I wouldn't push it. I'd say, well, okay, well, you don't want to talk about it. I got you. Save me a little bit of time anyway. That's sort of the angle I would take.
Gotcha.
But deal with the thing.
That's my usual. I try to do that at home, but of course at school, there's, you know, they don't have the luxury of giving him space to just, you know.
You link it. You tell them, I don't want him doing that to you. You let me know immediately when he does.
Gotcha.
And just as an aside here, Courtney, my daughter, her birthday was September 30th. Every single person said to us, oh, no, you can't send her, you know. October 1 is the cutoff date. September 30, come on, she's going to be by far the youngest one in there. And I thought to myself, here's a little girl who is pretty close to reading, and I'm going to hold her back for another year because they're going to do the letter people? She's going to be bored out of her head. Okay, but the problems will arise down the road, and I've heard this so many times said by educators. The problems will arise down the road because of immaturity when she's in the seventh grade. Well, in our particular case, and I'm not using this as the template, I'm just simply saying it's not a cut and dry thing. Hannah graduated from college at age 20 and was the youngest lieutenant in the United States Army. So it doesn't always reverberate. Some kids are just prepared to go. Now, your little guy's a boy, okay? So they don't, as a group, mature quite as fast. I got that. But I think what you're dealing with is not so much immaturity as she's just kind of learning to be a little bit defiant. All right, you'll handle that. Thanks, Courtney. I'll talk to you later. By the way, anybody interested, I have that particular technique, and I have it laid out in much more detail in my book, A Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It's what I call the EGFP strategy. Okay. Ooh, it's true. Got some tricky ones up there. Ouch. Kim from Illinois. Her son is 28 years old. Yesterday, he lost his rights to see his daughter. Apparently, there's either a separation in a marriage or a separation in a relationship. Hi, Kim.
Hello.
You're on the air, dear.
Hi.
So,
my name is. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, dear. What did he do that he lost his rights?
He was really young. He got his high school girlfriend pregnant, and then he had problems with drugs. And tried to commit suicide. God totally performed a miracle and spared his life, and he's completely turned his life around. But they suspended his rights, and then they went back for rights, and they severed them because they said it had been too long.
He had been out of the child's life for how many years?
For 3 years.
Well, that's interesting. That's unusual. Did you have an attorney?
Oh, yeah.
And the attorney said, you have permanently lost any rights to see this child. Permanently.
We went to court yesterday over it, and they've all fought it. The mother wouldn't let me talk to her, wouldn't let anybody talk to her, see her, anything. But they just said it had been too long.
Who said it had been too long? The court or the...
The court, the judge, the lawyers, the guardian ad litem.
So they said for him to enter this little girl's life now would be complicating things. She doesn't know who he is.
It would not be in the best
interest of the child. That's right. That's how they do it. Well... Okay, I don't obviously know all the details of the case, so I can't comment. I'm a little surprised because it takes a lot to have somebody permanently lose their right, even if he would get supervised visitation. But all right,
that's what we thought. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so given all that, you're going to have to help your son get over this in the sense that
he's devastated.
Well, at one point he did something foolish, unthinking. And sadly, in life, there's a line in the TV movie The Natural. He said, some mistakes you never stop paying for.
Well, yeah.
This is one of those things where your son will, at least at this point, now I don't know what his legal possibilities are, whether he can appeal it, what he can do, I don't know. I don't know the law enough in family law. But if he's decided, that's it, I'm not fight it anymore, then he has to move on with his life. And he has to hope and pray for that little one's well-being. And you simply support him and say, yes, this is what happened.
My thought was it would be better to restore the relationship now as opposed if she ever wanted to restore it when she was older.
Well, it would, dear, but legally that's roadblocked.
Right.
So at that point... You're going to have to work with your son and say, okay, son, this is what's happened through the courts. Now, get yourself a good legal opinion. Do we have any other recourse? Is this it? Is it shut down? Can we appeal? What is going on? Can we get an evaluation for my son? And the psychologist will say, hey, this kid's turned his life around. Okay, this is heavy-duty punishment not to let him see this child. Okay, so that's what I would suggest on that, dear, and help your son. Okay, move
I
on
will.
Here.
I am.
All right, Kim. Thank you. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses. On the next, Cresta in the Afternoon.
College is supposed to be a place where beliefs get challenged, where students are taught how to think, not just what to think. But that's been changing in this era of safe spaces and trigger warnings. Why? We look at the coddling of the American mind with Greg Lukianoff. We'll also talk with Lynn Wood, lawyer for now-exonerated Nick Sandman.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On the next Christ is the Answer program, Father John Ricardo presents a pair of men's conference talks, meeting him for the first time and all over again, and a fireside chat for the Lord. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Oh, boy, I just got a few more minutes here in the program, and there are more calls than a few more minutes. So simply want to remind you that if you're on the phone patiently waiting, at the end of the show, you call back. You're first up. At least there's nobody else competing with you. Then we flip a coin. Or we do rock, paper, scissors. But since you can't do rock, paper, scissors with me, I do it myself. And that doesn't really work because I know what I'm going to do. Let's talk to Ed from Maine. Hello, Ed.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
I can relate to the last lady about her son losing his parental rights because I did. After doing everything for my kids.
How long ago did you lose him?
Been 3 years, almost 4 years. I went from putting him on the bus every day to going to all their school activities to picking them up at school when they were sick or they got hurt. So you can't even look at your kids. You can't even think about them.
Well, what did you do to lose any kind of contact?
I had a crappy attorney, and my wife has been being pushed, I believe, by a group. I don't know who, but I think she has a group pushing her, telling her what to do, what to say.
Are you court-ordered to stay away?
I am court-ordered to stay away.
You can't do anything then.
So you
wait patiently until your daughter turns 18.
Well, I've got somewhat rate, some way I can contact my daughter if she wants to talk to me.
That's in the court proceedings?
In the court, yes. Yes, I have two younger twins that are 12. I cannot make any contact with the twins before. The old one is 16. Supposedly, I can, and I want to call her in today, and I'm scared my ex-wife is going to boost something up and call the cops on me.
You think she would make something up about you? Domestic violence or something like that?
She see me pulled over to the side of the road one day. I'm self-employed, and she called the cops on me because I was pulled over using the phone one day.
The cops showed up. What did they do?
I gave the call. I'm self-employed, so I had all my paperwork, my work order that I had made, all my parts that I bought, and my route I traveled. And the cop told me, he says, you better be careful. You're walking on thin ice.
Now, did he say that because he thought you were walking on thin ice, or he thought your wife was looking for a way to get you?
My wife was looking. He said that to me, but I think it was a way for my wife to get a hold to get me.
Okay. Well, Ed, this is one of those situations where I don't know what the court proceedings are. I don't know what the history is. I guess I can say this. This is one of the very sad things of a split marriage.
Like you said before, it's not reality that runs our lives. It's society that runs our lives.
And, unfortunately, there's always the risk when a marriage breaks up. And that's why I tell parents, unless you really have to leave this marriage because of safety factors or abuse, you better hang in there because you're looking at nothing but complications if there are kids. It is a minority of split relationships where there is a goodwill and a cooperativeness regarding the children.
I'll agree. Life was good for us. I was self-employed. I was looking to hire a couple people because I felt confident in what I was doing, and I had several rental properties.
Well, I'm going to hurry you along here, Ed. I got to deal with the what's now.
Okay. Do I take a chance to call my daughter?
I can't know. I have no idea how your wife will react. None.
I'm scared she's going to be on her shoulder listening or telling her what to do and not to do.
You have to make that decision for yourself and be braced to carry the repercussions. If you do nothing wrong, if you call her and that she hangs up on you or your wife says, get out of our lives, okay, that's one of the consequences. On the other hand, if you think, no, I want my daughter to know I still think about her, I still care for her, I still love her, and I'm willing to take whatever fallout to get that message across, okay, that's your decision. You're making the terms here. Good luck to you. Good luck to you, Ed. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. I appreciate the company. I know. I see that clock error gives me about, 30 seconds, Andrew, something along those lines. 877-573-7825 is the number. If you ever want to use it again tomorrow, you can't lose it because it is Look Back Friday. And again, hope to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma tomorrow night, and Grand Rapids, Michigan tonight. Both those talks are on my website at drray.com if you want information about it. Walk with God. Hold your kids tightly by the hand if you can.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.